encourage you this morning. And I want to encourage you by saying that God loves you. Yeah. All right? He loves you. And he wants good things for you. And so if you're trying to make heaven your home, I want you to continue to make that effort by the grace and help of God. God's going to help you. He's going to help you make heaven your home. But your goal has got to be on a daily basis to continue to put forth that effort. And I want to encourage you also and likewise, if you are not saved, you don't have God in your life, then he wants to get to know you and he wants you to get to know him. He wants to help you. When you are in sin, the enemy, what he does is he likes to abuse you. The enemy is an abuser. He likes to put you in situations where maybe you have made some wrong decisions, and then with those wrong decisions, he likes to cause harm. He likes to hurt. He's not going to help you. But God is a great God of heaven, and he's looking down on you. He's got thoughts of good and not evil towards you. He wants to bring you to an expected end. So I want to encourage you this morning. Get a hold of the Lord. Get a hold of the Lord right now today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. I want you to get a hold of God. I want you to get something deep down in your soul that will carry you through this life onto eternity. May God help us this morning. God will help you. God does love you. He is your friend. Spend time with him. Get to know him in the pardon of your sins. He'll bless your life. He'll help you through this life and on into the next one. Praise God this morning. I want to give that to you this morning because it's on my heart. The enemy loves to discourage us. He loves to keep us from the blessings, whether we're saved or unsaved. He loves to keep us from the blessings that God has for us. And I'm here to tell you this morning that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And I found it so. May God help us this morning. I found it so. Praise God this morning. I want you to pray for me this morning. The enemy loves to hinder the word of God, but by the grace and help of God this morning, we're not going to allow that to happen. We're going to look to the Lord to bless and to help in a mighty way. All right, my soul, my responsibility, my soul, my responsibility. All right, my soul, my responsibility. All right, all right. Responsibility is defined as the state of being. The state or fact of having a duty to deal with something or someone, having control over someone. My is defined as belonging to or associated with. All right, the state or fact of having a duty to deal with someone or something. All right, and so it's my soul. There's a scripture in Psalms 119 and 109. Well, if you beat me there, go ahead and read it. But it talks about our souls, and our souls is something that is so important. Seem like in the world, everything else is so important to us. My job, the house that I have, the car that I drive, what people think about me, all of these different things. We place so much value on those things, and the soul seems to get pushed back into the back corner somewhere. We're not worried about that. We'll get to it when we get to it, but I want us to understand that my soul is my responsibility, nobody else's. And so God has given me a soul. It's of the utmost importance and value. It's going to live forever. And so we have to value that. We have to put that in a very important place in our lives if we're going to make heaven our home, if we're going to be pleasing unto God. May God help us this morning. Psalms 119 and 109. Does somebody have that for you? Yes, my soul. All right. Continually in my hand.
Yet do I not forget thy law.
All right, and so here the writer is saying that my soul is in my hands, and then I can't forget your law either. May God help us this morning. What's happening is there's a connection here. He's making a connection that first, my soul is my responsibility. It's not my mother's. It's not the preacher's. It's not my favorite saint. It's not who I lean on, but it's my responsibility. It's not, I can't put my soul in any
anybody else's hands. And then the other thing that he's saying here is he says, yet do I not forget thy law, right? And so he's making a connection between the law of God, the word and the will and the way of God, and my soul. There's a connection that's happening there. My soul is continually in my hand, and so I've got to be concerned about, Lord, what do you want me to do? I've got to be concerned about, Lord, what do you want me to say? Where you want me to go? What's written in your word? What you tell me when you talk to me? May God help us this morning. My soul's in my hands, and so I've got to be concerned about it. And the way that I keep in a good place before the Lord is by being concerned about what he has for me in my life. May God help us this morning. My soul equals my responsibility. It's the most valuable things I have. I've got two things that are mine in this life. It seems that we have a whole bunch of things, but we really don't. We really don't have a lot of things in this life. That shirt you're wearing, you're not going to always have that shirt. Those pants you got on, that car you drive, that house you live in, you're not going to always have it. I promise you, you won't always be here. Right. You understand? So you do not own it. Do you understand that this morning? May God help us this morning. But what you do own is your will, and you own your soul.
Amen.
May God help us this morning. God has given you your soul, and he's given you your will, and they are closely and tightly interconnected. May God help us this morning. So my soul is continually in my hands. And so God, what he did is he put a soul in mankind. He made us flesh. He could have just made us like the animals. The animals don't have souls. The animals don't go to heaven. And so what God could have did, he could have just made us like that, and when we die, we just go back to dust, and whatever happens in between that, it doesn't really matter. But that's not the way that he did it. He put a soul in us. And he wanted us to understand that he put it in us because he wanted us to love him in spirit and in truth, to worship him in spirit and in truth. You understand this morning? And so what's happening is he put that soul in me, and he wants me to use that soul, that mind, that body, all that I have to please him. That's what he wanted me to do, right? And so the soul and the will are closely interconnected. The will is my want to. Right? What I want to do, right? And so what God does is he gave me my will. Do you know that somebody can take a gun and put it to your head and tell you to do something, and if you don't want to do it, do you know you don't have to do it? You can die before you do what you are being told to do. Did you know that? We have our own will, and God made us that way. Do you know that God won't violate your will?
Amen.
God could do anything, but he won't do it.
Amen.
I've got to make a choice. Yes. May God help us this morning. So my soul is in my hands. And so what I've got to do is I've got to ask God to help my want to. I remember at a time when I wasn't saved, and I didn't even want to be saved. But I knew when I heard the word of God, I knew that if I died, I knew I'd be lost. I knew that. I knew that at nighttime, when I laid down before I went to sleep, things would bother me and I couldn't go to sleep. And so I pray the sinner's prayer. I'd say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Every night. Because I knew that I had a soul, and I knew that it was mine, and I knew that my will, and I wasn't being obedient unto God. And so I knew that if I didn't make it that night, that I'd go to hell that night. May God help us. And so God said to me, he said, you know what you need to start doing? You need to start praying for the want to. You know that sometimes we know that something is good for us, and we know we should do it, but we don't want to do it. You know that? A lot of times that's how it is in our lives. But what we have to do is say, Lord, help me. Help me with my want to. Right? And so I began to pray about it. I said, Lord, I want you. I get emotional. Because I know that if he didn't help me, then I'd be lost today. I know that. I said, Lord, help me with my want to, Lord. I want to do right. And so, Lord, help me to start wanting to get saved. I want to get saved because my soul is continually in my hands. You see that?
Amen.
And so, it's such a shallow frame of thought. When I went to bed at night, I worried about it. But all during the day, I'm out here sinning and doing wrong. Do you know I could have died then too? I didn't think about that, did I? But God in his love and his mercy and his grace, he began to deal with my heart. I said, Lord, deal with me. Have mercy upon me. And he did that. And I said, Lord, soften my heart, Lord. I need you to soften my heart because I got a hard heart. I couldn't even, listen, it wasn't that I didn't want to cry. I couldn't cry. You understand what I'm talking about? These are the things that I allowed the enemy to do to me. I hardened myself in such a way that I didn't cry anymore. And I needed the Lord to soften my heart. And so I began to pray about that. I said, Lord, have mercy upon me. I want you to soften my heart. I want you to help me to want to do right. And then when I get to that place, Lord, I want you to get me into a situation to where your spirit is dealing with me and I can come to an altar of prayer and somebody pray with me and I can make salvation. I can get saved. And you know the Lord did that for me. I praise God right now today for that. He did that for me. Praise and bless his righteous and holy name. I couldn't do it my own self. I couldn't soften my own self. I couldn't make myself want to. I didn't make myself want to. God did that for me. He had mercy upon me, and I'm saved today, and I thank God for that right now today. I want you to be encouraged that your will is very important. And you need to ask God, if you have a problem with your will, when you know that something is right and you don't want to do it, but you know that it's right and you know that God is requiring of you to do it, whether it be salvation, whether it be something on in your experience with God, begin to ask the Lord to help me to do right, Lord, because my soul is continually in my hand. Do you know that a lot of people, what they want to do is they want to come to the preacher, they want to come to the deacon, the teacher, they want to come to their favorite Christian and say, this is what I'm dealing with, and I need you to pray this through. I'm not going to pray it through. I want you to pray it through. It doesn't work like that. And you should be glad. And I'm going to tell you why. What if your favorite preacher, deacon, favorite Christian, whatever it is that you lean on, what if something happened to them? They go away from the Lord. What if they go off in error? What if they pass away? Don't you still want to go to heaven?
Yeah,
I know I do. Yeah. And so God made a way that my soul is in my hands. If there's nobody else on this earth but me and God, I still can go to heaven. Praise God. All right. May God help us this morning. My soul is continually in my hand. I'm not going to forget your law, Lord. I'm going to obey you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to love you. You've been good to me. I'm going to be good to you. May God help us this morning. I want to encourage you to ask God to help you to want to do right and then to do right. May God help us this morning. Want to move forward a little bit here. And I want to read some of the notes that I wrote. My soul is mine, no one else. There's a song number 238. Somebody get that song and read me that chorus, please. I want you to be thinking about your soul in regards to this chorus. I'm going to talk about something else in a little bit different way in concerning my soul, my responsibility. Does somebody have that chorus of song number 238?
I will follow thee, my Savior.
I'll follow thee, my Savior.
Thou didst shed thy blood for me.
You shed your blood for me.
And though all men should...
I want you to get a hold of this. And though all men should forsake thee...
By thy grace.
By your grace, I'm going to follow thee. May God help us this morning. What we do sometimes, because we are human, because we are weak in the flesh, we have flesh and we have flesh to deal with, we get a little bit overly concerned with what other people are doing. The scripture, that song says in that verse, it says, though all men should forsake thee, by thy grace I'll follow thee. My soul is in my hand. I can't go up to God and say, you know what? These brothers and these sisters who I assume are Christians, they went that way and so I went that way. My soul is in my hands.
Amen.
All right? And so I've got to make sure that what I'm doing, not doing, where I'm at before the Lord is pleasing unto God. I can't put it on brother so-and-so. I can't put it on sister so-and-so. Whatever they're doing may get them to heaven, but that don't mean it's going to get you to heaven.
Amen.
What you're tempted with, I'm going to give you an example here. What you're tempted with and what I'm tempted with might be two different things. So what they're allowed to do and allowed to, I'll say, and quote unquote, get away with, you can't do it because you've got an issue in that area. And vice versa. You understand what I'm saying? And so I can't just look at the next person and say, well, I'll just do what they do and I'll get to heaven. No, my soul is in my hands. All right? And so I can't cookie cutter this thing. I can't copycat this thing. I've got to make sure that I've got a relationship with God that's strong and is intact, and I'm obeying what He told me to do in my life. All right, the Bible don't change. We all got to come to what the Bible says. But there are things that are lawful things that I can't do in a personal way. I can't do it because it's going to be a hindrance to me. But you can do it because it's not a hindrance to you. And so you and I, when we do that, when we look at the next person, we are neglecting our relationship with God. We don't develop a relationship with God. We can't hear Him. We don't know where He is. We don't understand where He's coming from. We don't know what He wants for us to do in our life. You know why? Because we don't have a relationship with God like we need to. We got a relationship with that person that we're relying on to follow. We got a relationship with them. But we don't have that relationship with God like we want, like God wants us to. So I want to encourage you this morning to focus on your relationship with God. I'm not talking about those that are just saved this morning. Pay attention if you're not saved. I'm talking to you too. You have a relationship with God. And you need to understand that your soul is in your hands. And you can't leave here in the condition that you're in. And so you need to begin to talk to Him even when you're not saved. You need to start letting Him know whose side you really are on. Because you don't want to leave here without Him. May God help us this morning. And so you need to start talking to Him now. Lord, I know I'm not right, but Lord, I'm asking you to help me. I want to get right. I don't want to leave here without you, Lord. May God help us this morning. My soul, my hands. May God help us. It's my responsibility. May God help us this morning. I've got to follow Him all the way. It says, though all men should forsake Him, by thy grace I'll follow thee. Sometimes there have been situations where there's been a movement and these people were looking to please God and they were living right and they were saved, and one person or two or three, they got off. And because they didn't, the people were looking at those people instead of God, they got off as well.
Yes.
And so the Lord, don't get me wrong, the Lord will deal and He'll work in those situations and He'll call after those hearts to bring them back to Him.
Yes.
But when you get off like that, it ain't, and when I say this, I cannot I cannot under-exaggerate how off you can be doing that kind of stuff. People that once were saved and had a solid and a strong relationship with God, got away from the Lord, following somebody else, and the things that they do now, they didn't do weird stuff in the beginning, but they're worshiping other people.
That's true.
They are praying to people.
Yes.
You understand? You're not getting to heaven like that.
Amen.
Jesus Christ died for us. We gotta ask in the name of Jesus. We gotta talk to God the Father. We can't pray to no people and get to heaven, but they have a false hope in this thing because they've gotten off.
Yeah.
And so my soul, my responsibility, you get it right. Just in case somebody gets to moving in the wrong direction, you stay right where you need to stand and say, brother, sister, I love you, but I think that's the wrong way. And this is what the Bible says about this. And in love, in truth, and in, I love you, brother. Sister, I don't want you to be lost. And guess what? They probably could come right back with you. They say, you know what, brother? You know what, sister? You're right. Pray for me. Pray with me. We're going to get this right by the grace and help of God. It's very serious, is it not?
Amen.
It's very serious. May God help us this morning. Continually means something, doesn't it? Continually means without interruption. Constant. Huh? My soul is continually, without interruption, constantly in my hands. All right? Sometimes we want to, and God help us. Things are not always easy, they're not always fun. And so sometimes some people might come against us, and what we do is we take our soul and we put it in their hands. I'm going to explain it. They did us wrong, and so they need to be dealt with. And so temporarily, we think, we're going to take our soul, put it in their hands, and let them know what they need to know and deal with them how they need to be dealt with. I'll tell you what, I don't want my soul in nobody else's hands.
Amen.
If it's not in God's hands, I don't want it in nobody else's hands.
Amen.
Don't live your salvation like that. Don't put your salvation down, may God help us, because the situation, it got a little difficult, don't put it down. If you do make a mistake in that way, be honest with the Lord. We talked about it this morning, and say, Lord, I failed in this place.
Yes.
But my soul is continually in my hand. So it's not their fault. And even if it is their fault, it's my fault too. And I've got to do right, because you're requiring me. When I come to see you, you're going to deal with me and me only. May God help us. So God, what he does is he puts it in our hands and he entrusts it in our hands. And then he says, what I want you to do is I want you to enlist my help, because you're going to need it.
Amen.
You've got an adversary. You got the world. You got self and you got the devil. And the devil, he uses people to come against you. So it's really four adversaries. You got the devil, right? And then you got the people that he uses, right? And then you got self, which gets in the way. Self likes to lead. Self doesn't want to be disrespected. It doesn't want to humble itself. It doesn't want to do that. That's hard to do. Even for Christians, it's hard to do. That's why we need God to help us to do it. And then you got the world. The world is very enticing, right? Because we live in the here and now. And so we need God to teach us how to get ourselves out of the here and now and to be looking way down the line. What are they going to be saying at my funeral, right? And is it going to be true or not? I can't preach nobody into heaven. Did you know that? Your friends and your family that love you, I don't care how many good things they say about you, if you and I are not right with God, it's not going to matter. It just doesn't work like that. And so we have to have a real and a true relationship with God, and we have to have it on a daily basis. It's not impossible. It's very possible. Because what God does is he obligates himself to help us to do whatever it is that he's asking us to do. And then we only have to do it one day at a time. See? And so if all I have to do it is today, I can do that by the grace and help of God. Right? And if I mess up, so you got God to help you, right? You got the one day at a time thing. And if I mess up, the same God that's going to help you is the same one that can and will forgive you, teach you how to do better, and you still can go on for the Lord. Praise God. My soul, my hands, it can be done by the grace and help of God. It's my responsibility. What the devil does, though, is he's got you living in the future. He's got you living in the past. He's beating you up about the wrong that you haven't asked God to forgive you about. You know what? I challenge you, if you've got something in between you and God today, I challenge you, go and ask God to forgive you. Do that right now. Do it sometime today. God will forgive you and restore you and help you to continue to move forward.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
God is good.
Yes.
God is good. I couldn't make it without him. I'll tell you that right now. Somebody get Matthew 19 and 29. And somebody read that for us. If you go ahead and beat me there, go ahead and read it. It's Matthew 19 and verse number 29. I don't want to keep you all day, but I want you to get a hold of what we're talking about to help you and encourage you along the way, get you where you need to be. May God help us.
And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake,
all right,
receive a hundred and hundredfold,
all right,
shall inherit everlasting life.
Amen. All right, so it says here that what we're getting here is that if I am able to put God in front of all of these different things, and these things are very clear. The reason why it uses this stuff is because it's the mother, the father, you know, all those things. These things are the closest things to us.
Amen. Yes.
We have a very close relationship. I don't even want to start talking about my mother and all that kind of stuff. We'd all be crying up in here. It's the truth. Because our mothers love us and they go through a lot for us, don't they? And so we all love our mothers. But here, the point is, If you can put God before all of that, then everything else is not going to be a problem.
Amen.
Right? But if you don't, and if you can't, the Bible says we're not even worthy of him. All right? And so my soul is in my hands. Now, sometimes we love our loved ones so much that they can get in the way of our relationship with God. I am so concerned about what my husband, my wife, my sister, my brother, my friends, etc. I'm so concerned about what they think about who I am and what I'm doing. And so for the sake of them, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. I know it's not pleasing to God, but I'm going to do it for right now because I don't want them to think a certain way about me. It's close. It's close, you know what I mean? This stuff is not really easy all the time. But we have to remember the goal, right? If God's goal is to get you to heaven and to get me to heaven, right? Then isn't it his goal to get your mother to heaven and your father to heaven and your sister and your brother and your husband, your wife and your children and your friends and your acquaintances, right? So by the help of the Lord, we have to value that. Amen. And have our mind set on pleasing God. Yes. So that his will and his purpose can be attained in this life. And if you and I begin to elevate someone or something over God, we have missed it and we're in trouble. May God help us this morning. It's my soul. It's my responsibility. Don't let anyone or anything deter you from getting what God has for you in this life, having that relationship with God that God wants you to have in this life. Don't let anything, the Bible says, let no man take your crown.
Amen.
May God help us this morning. All right. Want to read Philippians 2 and 12 and 13. It talks about our own salvation. And it talks about how we're going to do all of this. And we've alluded to it already, but I want us to get it read. If you beat me there, go ahead and read it for us, please. It's Philippians 12, 2, 12, and 13.
Wherefore, my beloved,
yes,
you have always obeyed,
yes,
not as in my presence only, but now,
yes,
much more in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Fear and trembling.
For it is God which worketh in both you to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen. It says here, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Amen.
All right? There's two portions I want us to highlight here. It's our own salvation, right? When that's talking about my soul, right? What gets saved is our soul, all right? And then it says with fear and trembling. I want us to understand that this is the fear and trembling portion is it's a reasonable, how can I say this? Lord help me. We're not mentally ill. We're not full of anxiety like we were when we were in sin, or just, you don't have to be in sin to be have anxiety, but in sin I did have that. But what it is it's the utmost seriousness, it's the utmost importance we're placing on our own salvation.
Yeah.
All right. It's important that we have that in a place where we don't allow anything or anyone to come between us and God.
Amen.
All right. That's the fear and trembling that we're talking about. There's a carefulness. There's a watching and a praying that is associated with being a child of God. All right. Because what we don't want to do is to put it in somebody else's hands. We don't want to. Sometimes we'll put it on God. Did you know that? Sometimes we'll say, you know what? God, if you want me to be saved, then you'll do this and you'll do that and you'll do the other for me. And if you don't do it, then I'm not going to live for you. Oh, that's the truth. Now, we don't say that, and it might not be in the forefront of our mind, but in our subconscious, we say, Lord, this is what I want from you. And when he doesn't give it to us, we get offended, we get angry, we get disrespected, whatever it is that we think it is. And we say, you know what, Lord, I'm done with this. This isn't right. I don't like it. May God help us. My soul is in my hands. God is not going to come down, get in your body, and make you do right. He's not going to do it. We are what's called free moral agents.
Right.
So we have the ability to say yes to the Lord or to say no. There's rewards and consequences based on our choice.
Right.
But God can save us to the uttermost. He can live in us. I want you to read the second scripture that I asked, verse number 13. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I can come to God and say, Lord, this is difficult. This is hard. I've asked you for something and you didn't give it to me. And so it bothered me. It upset me. I became offended by that. But ultimately, Lord, it's not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. And so, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, help me with this emotion. Because if I don't get help with this emotion, what's going to happen is I'm going to get bitter. I'm going to get unforgiving. I'm going to take a certain attitude towards you, Lord. And you know what I'm going to do, Lord? I'm going to go away from you. Ultimately, I'm going to go away from you. I'm going to be lost. May God help us this morning. And so I have the ability to come to God and say, Lord, help me with this. I'm sorry, Lord, but this is the way that I feel. Do you know that God knows how you feel?
Yes.
He knows how you feel. Man looks on the outward appearance. What's God look on? He looks on the heart. Where's your feelings located? In the heart. So he knows how you and I feel. And so what we can do is we can come to him and we can say, Lord, I need you to help me with this. I need you to help me both to will and to do of your good pleasure. Help me to forgive. Somebody's offended me. I'm upset about how things are going in my life. Help me, Lord, to humble myself. God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So, Lord, I'm not humble. I'm acknowledging that right now. I have pride on hand. I'm upset. I'm angry. I don't like how things are going. But I know that I can't get help unless you help me with that. And so, Lord, I got to deal with this pride issue that I got. So, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, you know, a lot of people, they don't get help because they don't want to acknowledge what's really happening. I didn't like it. They shouldn't have done it. And I'm mad about it. That's only happened to me. No, nobody else has ever had that kind of problem. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Yes.
You know why you need that truth? Because you need to be honest with the Lord.
Yes.
You need to be honest with yourself and say, Lord, this is exactly what's going on. And I know that it's not right. And I know I need you to help me. But what happens is we don't deal with it, and it festers, and it grows, and then what we do is, if they don't say they sorry to me, then this little unforgiveness that I got going on is justified. Is that the right direction? What's that going to do to my soul that's continually in my hands? We began to move away from the Lord because unforgiveness is what it is a seed, and it grows into something.
Right.
It grows into bitterness and hatred and envy and jealousy and everything else. That's what it does. And it pushes out the love of God and grace and mercy and kindness and long suffering and all these things that God is going to need to recognize in you when you leave here. That's what happens. And so what we need to do is just be honest before the Lord. Lord, I'm upset. I'm hurt. My soul is in my hand, and I don't want to be lost. And so I'm asking you, Lord, help me to humble myself. I don't even want to be proud. I'm just, you know what? I'll tell you this. I don't know where it comes from. I'll tell you that. I don't know where it comes from. We are dust and dirt, literally.
Yeah.
And we go back to the dust and the dirt. But you can't tell me, I'm talking about down from the babies all the way to the oldest people in the world. Pride. We just got a way about ourselves. We just don't want to be, we don't want to be stepped on. We don't want to be mistreated. And I'm not saying we should want to be mistreated, but I'm saying that God's way is best if human wisdom a fair way may seem to show. It's only that our erred-in vision, the truth may never clearly know. God's way is best. I will not murmur. Although the end I may not see, wherever he leads, I'll meekly follow. God's way is best for me. And so we have to, that part of us, that self, that natural pride that we have in our own selves, we got to deal with that on a daily basis and say, Lord, I need your help with this. The Bible talks about deny yourself daily. Daily. So even if I had a good day yesterday and somebody did me wrong and I didn't have unforgiveness, I forgave him. I took it to the Lord and he helped me and he blessed me. I got a new day. I got a new day. It's kind of like a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, if yesterday was the day that you went to heaven, it's a good thing. But if you got another day, you know, there's a song that says, once again, I faced Satan this morning, and I battled him all the day long. In my weakness, God gave reinforcements, and by sundown, I sang victory song. The sun is coming up in the morning. Every tear will be gone from my eye. This old place going to give way to glory, and like an eagle, I'll take to the sky. And so God is wanting to have that with us and for us. He's trying to get us to heaven the best way that he can. And so we got to let him do it, all right? I'm out of time. I'm out of time, but I ask you to bear with me. I didn't even get to all that I needed to get through. But again, bear with me and have mercy upon me here. I've got to read this one more thing, all right? I wanted to read this. I should have read this earlier. Please forgive me. But I want you to get a hold of this. I always try to throw something in there that we have to think about. The Lord helps me to get those kinds of thoughts. So I want you to think about this. Think about why we're reading this, all right? Judge not that ye be not judged. This is in Matthew 7, verse number 1. Mm-hmm. I'll read down to verse number 5. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote of thy brother's eye. All right. Beam and mote. Beam, of course, you know what a beam is. It's big, right? And it's in your eye. It's a big pole. You can't see straight. And so it's difficult for you even to make judgment. Right? Stay with me. And then the mote is a really small sliver that's in somebody else's eye. And you're with your big old beam in your eye, me and you. We trying to take our tweezers and get the little tiny sliver of something that's in somebody else's eye, right? All right. But I want you to think about it in this way too. Remember we talked about my soul, my hands, and it's my responsibility. Here's the problem with the judging, all right? And here's the problem with letting others be our spiritual compass, okay? We'll either judge them harshly or we'll judge them too lenient. Either way, we're in trouble. Either way, we're in trouble, right? If they my friend, oh, they're good, they're fine. They're squared away. And so we'll tell them, hey, you're doing great. And matter of fact, I'm gonna follow you because I think you're doing great. You're my friend, you're my buddy, and everything is great. We're humans, right? Leave the judging up to God.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus Christ was flawless. He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And so what we do is we let that be our spiritual compass. We let that be our example. We let that, we follow him and we obey him. And in that way, we know that we can't get messed up because the Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? So even if I'm intending to do right, I'm wanting to do right, some kind of way, I can get it wrong because even me, I don't even know my own self. I want to do right. I'm trying to do right. But I got it wrong. I have to have God and his son. They have to be my compass. I've got to deal with them. My soul's in my hand. So I'm encouraging you this morning, deal with God. Don't try to appease the people that you think are watching. Oh, these people are saved, and so I'm going to straighten up. I noticed this. People, I don't tell people that I'm a pastor. I don't tell them I'm a minister. I do that on purpose. I'm not telling you nothing. You're going to show me who you really are, right? And you're going to see who I really am. If I'm really a child of God, then you'll see. I don't have to do that. You'll see, and I will see, right? And so what ends up happening is people act a certain way around you for a certain amount of time, and then they begin to notice, I'm not getting any get back. I'm doing this stuff, and it's not right, and I see that there's no response there. And so they begin to wonder, what's going on with this brother? What's going on with this sister? Are you a Christian? Yes, I am, as a matter of fact, I am. Amen. And then somebody else tell him, and he's a pastor too. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Oh, don't be sorry to me. I don't have no heaven to take you to.
Right.
I couldn't take you to Walmart if God don't let me. I'm telling you the truth. I can't take you nowhere. You understand what I'm saying? If I go to Walmart, I'm being serious about this. If I go somewhere, God gave me strength and help and blessed me to be able to do it. I can't do anything without God, right? And so don't put me on no pedestal. Don't put nobody else on no pedestal. I don't care who they are. You better put God on a pedestal in your life. And judge yourself by what he said and what and how he deals with you in your life. Right? May God help us this morning. Again, I appreciate your time and your attention and your prayers for me. My goal is to make heaven my home. And sometimes we have messages or sermons, whatever you want to call them, and they're kind of up there. They're in your face. They're abrasive. They're right there. And it makes us think about where we are and who we are with the Lord. And that's a reason for that. There's a purpose for that. That's a good thing. As long as you're on this side and you have time and opportunity, then what you need to do is you need to do opposite of what the rich man did. See? The rich man, he didn't worry about his soul. He didn't worry about his soul and he didn't worry about Lazarus either. He wasn't worried about that. I'm going to get some more stuff and have some more fun. That's what I'm going to do. That's what he did. But what happened when he got onto the other side? He started worrying about his soul. He was worrying about everybody's soul then. Let me tell my brothers. Let me go back to anything, right? That's what he did. Today is the day of salvation.
Yes.
Now is the accepted time. If it's a hard thing for you, ask God to help you to accept it and get what you can get out of it that you might be a better child of God. If you need salvation, this is a good time to get salvation this morning. May God help us this morning. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers for me. I want to make heaven my home. I want you to make it too. Not only do I want that, but I want you to have a good life with the Lord. I want to have that too. So you pray for me. I will be praying for you.
Amen.
Thank you.